Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. The name of the message is, Bless the Lord. Now, God takes rebels, born dead in trespasses and sins, who use His name in vain in that natural state, and by the regenerating power of God the Holy Spirit, He makes their lips to bless His name. I was listening to Brother Tom Harden this morning, and he brought forth, and he has these little 15-minute radio messages, and he brought forth the fact that salvation is all of the Lord from beginning to end. It's all in Him. And you know, I hear that, just bless my soul. And he talked about the righteousness of Christ. And I said to Vicky, I said, religion's trying to establish their own righteousness. And I said, do you remember hearing about the righteousness of Christ when we were in religion? And both of us said, no. We never really heard about it. We heard a lot about what we had to do. Or what we weren't doing. We didn't hear a whole lot about the righteousness of Christ. And that righteousness, beloved, is the only righteousness that will allow us to appear in the presence of God. The righteousness of Christ. And if you're a believer, you are right now clothed in that spotless righteousness. So what comes out of our mouth as a result? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, praise His mighty name. Praise His mighty name. He's had mercy upon me. Now we who are the redeemed of the Lord, we praise and bless our great God, don't we? We praise and bless Him for the wondrous things that He's done for us and in us. When we consider the great salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself has wrought out for us, when we consider we're saved by the grace of God alone, according to the merits of Christ alone, we can't help but praise the Lord. We can't help but say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Let me praise His mighty name. We can't help but say that. And then when we consider that we're justified before a holy and righteous God, completely, even now while we're here on this earth, that we're justified, we who believe, are justified before God right now, how does that make you feel? My. You want to praise His name, don't you? You want to give Him all the glory. And when we consider that our great God drew out salvation's plan in eternity, and that we were included in that plan, how does that make you feel? Oh, I know how it makes me feel. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Let me praise His name. And then when we consider that all our sins are put away, every single one of them. Past, present, and future. And remember, all our sins for us, right now, in this time that we're in, all our sins were future. When Christ died on Calvary's cross. So if He forgive me for all my sins, that's my sins I've committed, the sins I commit now, and the sins that I'll commit in the future. That's all of them. All means all. So when I consider the wonder of that, The wondrous love that Christ has had for me, that He came down from the glories and splendors of heaven to die on the cross for me, for you if you're a believer, to save us, the Scripture says, from our sins. And when we consider how the law had a just claim on us, didn't it? Soul that sinneth, it must die. Well, all we are is sinners. So when we consider that the law of God and the justice of God had a rightful claim upon us, and when we consider it satisfied,
by the sacrifice of Christ?
In the room and place of His people? Look at the first verse. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name! I'm forgiven. And so are you if you're a believer. And then when we consider that He's ever watchful over us, these snowflakes falling right now, that not one snowflake falls from the sky and hits the ground without Him purposing it and knowing it. Not one. Without Him knowing it. And that's all, that every, think of that too. Every time you see a snowflake, or I like what A.W. Pink did. He bought in the, you know, remember when we were kids and we used to see the sun rays come in the windows, and it, you know, we could sit there for hours watching the dust fly in the air, couldn't we? Every one of those speckles of dust was ordained by God to be right there at right that time. Not one of them, beloved, not one of them was floating in that air except by the will of God and the purpose of God. And then to think that we, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, even when we were in full rebellion against God, that He was ever watchful over us as His lost sheep. And if we think of how much He watched over us in our lost condition, think of how much He watches over us. The same watchful eye is now upon us as His sheep. What can we say but bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Oh my. So we see David knew. David knew what it meant to praise the Lord. And here he, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, spoke of praising or blessing our Lord with our lips. So let's read Psalm 103. Let's read it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. We so easily forget, don't we? We so easily forget. Something happened today, or not today, this week. And my dear bride reminded me, God's sovereign, you preach that from the pulpit. Amen, that's right. I got to flesh out what I preach. And then right away, my mind was focused upon Christ and I had such peace. I was trying to work it out in my own flesh. See, I'm the same. I'm just like everyone else. We're all the same, aren't we? Oh my. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Don't ever forget. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Oh my. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Look at that. The soul that sinneth, it must die. What does Christ do? He dies in our room and place as a great substitute, saving us from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dwelt, look at this verse. This is amazing. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. We don't get what we deserve. David's even saying this. David knows what it means to be forgiven. He's saying, the Lord hasn't dealt with me according to my sin, or my sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. What is the wages of sin is death. When Paul writes that, that talks about a Roman soldier receiving a wage, that which is justly due him. Well, the wages for us as sinners is death. The Lord doesn't reward us according to His iniquity. He doesn't reward His people according to His iniquity. Because Christ died in our place. So now death for us is but a doorway to glory. To be in the presence of our great King. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. And that can also be His loving kindness. Mercy there. His loving kindness. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Remember, if you're going east, you'll never be going west. And if you're going west, you'll never be going east. Now, if He had said the poles, well, there's a south pole and a north pole, right? But east and west, you go east, you're always going east. You go west, you're always going west. They don't ever meet. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, that's so wonderful. Oh, my. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembered that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Look at that. The loving kindness of our Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Upon them that fear Him, there's a clause. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction, the Scripture says. Oh my. And His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Look at that. You men who were in the armed forces, your general was over you and all the other men in your units, or your regiment, or your battalion. He was the one over them all. Just like the president is over all the armed forces, he's the commander in chief. The Lord is over all. He's over all. Those are but shadows and types. He's greater. He's over everything. Everything. His kingdom ruleth all. There's nothing left out of His kingdom, beloved. Oh my. And then look at this. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength. One angel killed 100,000 men when he was let loose. And he wouldn't have stopped until the Lord said stop. Hear that? And think of this, when the Lord was in the garden, He said, I can call 6 legions of angels. 30,000 angels. Wipe out the whole world. But He didn't. Because His mercy and His loving kindness towards His people. Oh my. To do His commandments. They're all at His command. They're all at His command. All He has to do is say, do this, and they have to do it. They don't say, oh, well, wait, you know, I've got to make a decision whether I want to do that, Lord. No. They do it. They obey His command. Just like thy people shall be made willing in the day of His power. Oh, my. When we're being drawn to Christ with an irresistible, invincible call of God, there's no one or nothing that's going to stop it. Praise be to God, right? Because what's our natural state? Take right off. Oh my. God's grace is greater than anything. Hearken unto the voice of His word. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. Bless ye the Lord, all His host. That means all His people. That means the angels. That means praise His name. Ministers of His that do His pleasure. And that ministers there is servants. We're servants of the Lord. We're bond slaves of Christ. All of His people. All of His people. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. And there's nowhere that's not under His dominion. Nowhere. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So we see this psalm as one continued hymn of praise, isn't it? It's one continued hymn of praise. And it includes a comprehensive view of the goodness of Jehovah. In all the great works of creation and redemption, providence and grace, it manifests His goodness. It manifests His grace. And oh, how good is our Lord. How good is our God. Let's look at verses 1 and 2 again. David wrote this. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." So take note of the beauty, how this psalm beautifully opens in calling upon God's people to bless the name of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord. And we have much to praise the Lord for. Oh my, sing praise. Praise our great God. It's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And here we see we are called to praise our great God. Robert Hawker has brought forth that it was an ancient custom in the church at the opening of the service to call upon the people, "Lift up your hearts, beloved, and let your lips praise and worship our great God, the Lord Jesus Christ." In verse 2 is the verse I'd like us to spend most of our time on. Look at this. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." We'll go through this psalm, but one of the best ways for us to begin and end a day is by consciously remembering the great benefits of our God toward us. In this world, we suffer, don't we? We suffer in this world. We go through trials and tribulations. Maybe health. It may be tribulations of the heart. It may be something that we're dealing with that no one else knows. And we're prone to complain, aren't we? We're prone to murmur and complain. It's wired in us. It really is. We're prone to try to fix it ourselves, like I did this week. We're prone to try to fix the situation. We men are fixers. Some of us are. We like to fix the situation when it occurs. I am anyways. But I realize I can't fix situations. I can't do it. I end up going like this. Right on my face. Huh? And we're all prone to it, aren't we? We're all prone to complain about things. Or a situation. But let us consciously remember, at the beginning or the end of the day, all the blessings of the Lord that we have. It'll silence our tongue. And it's all natural. It's all part of our walk through this life, the things that we go through. And I know this. If we were to get together and talk about the different things that we struggle with, we'd find out we're all the same. Now, something that you may be strong, I may be weak in, or vice versa. But we all struggle with the same things, beloved. My, never forget that it's our great God who has saved us and who keeps us. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the psalmist brings forth that we are not to forget the benefits of the Lord toward us. As he pens here, "Forget not all His benefits." Now we will see in the psalm that the psalmist goes on to list some of these benefits. He lists them right in this psalm. And when these are brought to our remembrance, they can be a source of great blessing and joy to the believer, to the born-again, blood-washed people of God. Look in verse 3. The psalmist brings before the people of God. Here's an incredible benefit that the Lord's done for us. The mercy He's had upon us. Brings forth before the people of God that God has forgiven you and I, if you're a believer, of all our iniquities. Look what it says. Who forgiveth A-L-L. All. All. Not some. Not a few. But all thine iniquities. All our sins. Who healeth all thy diseases. So imagine all the sin in our lifetimes. The sin of thoughts. The sins of words. The sins of deeds. The sins of our heart. The sins of our mind. Sins that we don't even know that we commit. All against us. All condemning us. All of them. Remember in Scripture that I read that the Lord blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us? Imagine all those sins as an ordinance against us. Imagine that. And just need one to condemn us, don't we? Just one. But imagine all them, all our lifetime. Condemning us. Because the law of God has been broken by every one of those sins. And the justice of God must be satisfied for every one of those sins. God's law demands satisfaction, and God, as a righteous God, demands that His law be satisfied. Demands it. There's no wiggle room. Can you or I pay for even one of those sins? Just one even? No. Imagine in our minds the enormous mass of all our sin. In all its great wickedness before God, before the just God of the universe. And He takes His seat to pass judgment. And He says this, all is forgiven. All is forgiven by the precious blood of my Son. And I'll never recall even one of those sins ever again. What can we say but bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. What more can we say? Praise His name. So marvel, if you are a born again, blood washed believer, at this wonderful benefit of the finished, complete work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our place. Look what the Scriptures declare in verse 3 of our great God. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. So if that was the only benefit, my oh my. Diseases here are not bodily ones, though the Lord is the physician of our bodies as well as the souls of man, and sometimes He heals the diseases of soul and body at once, in the case of the paraplegic man in the gospel. But this speaks of spiritual diseases, or so-called wickedness. And we know this is tied in with our iniquities, which is our sins. And it's hereditary that we're sinners, aren't we? Adam fell, and therefore we're all born fallen creatures. Dead in trespasses and sins. And this is an incurable state, naturally. The state is spoken of here as who healeth all thy diseases. And that speaks of our sins. Now see, the health, wealth, transfer, or health, wealth, prosperity guys get a hold of that and they say, see. Well, they're just twisting the Scriptures to their own destruction. God heals people if He's pleased to heal people. I had a friend of mine, charismatic guy, told him, well, if you prayed more and you did this more, God would heal you your back thing. Back pain you have in the back. He said, he's got to get an operation. And I looked at him and I said, Jim, I despise people like that. That's one of the worst things anyone can say to anybody. And he said, yeah, God heals whom He wills. And I said, amen. He may put us through something, which will draw us closer to Him, won't it? But you know what? When we breathe our last breath, we'll be healed, won't we? We'll be in the glory, we'll be in the presence of our great God and King. Oh, sin is only cured by the Lord Jesus Christ, by His almighty power. And in the preaching of the gospel of God's free grace in Christ, peace with God is preached. How? Through Christ alone. The only way for you and I, the only way, my friend, for you and I to be forgiven is through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the preaching of the gospel of God's free grace, peace with God is declared. Through Christ Jesus, pardon of all our sins and iniquities is declared through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A righteousness which is accepted by God is declared. That righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. It's declared, though, by His life and His death. He wove a perfect coat of righteousness for His people. And there's not one stitch of that coat that we've added to it. Not one. It's all by Him. He did it all. Remember in the readings, and Paul wrote, "You're complete in Him." Oh, my. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I'm complete in Christ. This is wonderful news for the sinner. Wonderful, wonderful news. And the Lord Jesus Christ does it freely, fully, according to His sovereign will. Another benefit set forth in this psalm is our great God redeems our souls from destruction. Look at verse 4 in Psalm 103. Look at this. David writes about God's people, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." You and I know very little of what God's wrath is like. And in fact, I suppose only those in hell know what it's really like. There's only one other who knows what that wrath is like. Because He bore our wrath. The wrath that was due us. He bore it on Calvary's cross. In our room and place. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And because Christ was forsaken, and because God's wrath fell upon Him as our substitute, then we will never experience it as God's people. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Look at this verse. It says it right here. We'll never experience it because Jesus Christ our Lord, it is He who has redeemed us, redeemed thy life from destruction. He did it. He did that. And then look at the latter part of verse 4 where we see another benefit of our salvation, which should cause us to bless the Lord. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh my. We see another benefit of our salvation which should cause us to bless the Lord. Our God crowns us with His loving kindness. And see the word crowneth there? It means to encircle. See, most people think it means to put a crown on your head. No, it means to encircle us. To encircle us with His loving kindness and mercy. It encircles us and surrounds us so that we are protected from eternal harm. From all eternal harm. And what does it also do? This verse also magnifies our great God's sovereignty. I was listening to somebody this week and they were talking about how when they were in Vietnam and they said the Lord preserved them in Vietnam. And he said he was to receive a promotion to become a sergeant. Him and this other guy in his unit. And he said, the orders came through, and the captain had told him, you're going to get the promotion. And the orders came through, and the other guy got the promotion to be a squad leader. And he admitted, he said, I was upset. Because I was upset when that happened. Because, and his buddy, who turned out to be his friend, he was wondering what happened. So he said, a couple days later, there's his friend who's now a sergeant, and he's leading out a platoon to go on out across the wire. And they were all killed. And he said, I saw substitution right there. Isn't that amazing? That's incredible. Oh, our great God, He's our substitute, beloved. He redeems our life from destruction. Oh my, He encircles us with His sovereignty. See, that man was encircled by the sovereignty of God, beloved. And all of God's blessings flow to His people from the loving kindness and mercy of our great God all through the Lord Jesus Christ to we who are His people. And think of these blessings, all the blessings of the everlasting covenant, the sure mercies of David, all the spiritual blessings with which the saints are blessed in Christ, the grace given to us, the mercy that we've received in Christ, mercy that keeps us all looking to Christ and Him alone. So crowned, we're encircled with the sovereignty of God, beloved. And we give Him all the glory and the honor and the praise for protecting us. Oh, how we are loaded down daily with God's benefits. Look at verse 5. We see another benefit which will cause the believer in Christ to bless the Lord. Psalm 103, verse 5. Who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. God gives His people full satisfaction. The world rushes after its glories. It rushes after different things, trying to find peace and trying to find comfort in things of the world. And it's never satisfied. It's never satisfied. But every believer in Christ shall be satisfied. We're satisfied with Him, aren't we? We're satisfied with Him. And then think of this. One day we'll be fully satisfied. Because we'll see Him face to face. Oh my. Oh my. Oh, that will be a wondrous day. Oh, when the worldling dies, when those who die in their sins, they lose all anything they've had. It's gone, just like that. But for the believer in Christ, to die is gain. To die is gain. We will see, he or she who trusts in Christ will see the very one who we rest in right now. Who we trust in right now. And we'll see Him face to face then. Our hope will become sight. See, hope is not hope if you can see that which you hope for. We hope to see Christ, don't we? Why? Because we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And He's declared, God has declared in His Word that those He saves, He keeps. And He will one day present us faultless before His throne with exceeding joy. My, oh my. We will see the one who we long to see when we die and pass away from this world. Now let's look at verse 10. We see another benefit of our salvation, which will cause us to rejoice and will cause us to bless the Lord. Verse 10 says this, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Now this verse you've heard me and many other grace preachers say, we do not get what we deserve. This is a great verse to look at, to see that so clearly. We do not get what we deserve. If we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell. But God, by His mercy and His grace, He saved us. Look at this. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. When one who is lost dies, they go right to hell. But when we die, we go right to glory. As God's people. Isn't that amazing? That's absolutely amazing. Incredible. He doesn't deal with us after our sins. He doesn't reward us according to our iniquities. Why? Because Christ Jesus the Lord, the sinner's only substitute, died as our substitute. And God will not punish our sins twice, will He? Christ has satisfied the justice in God, the justice and law of God that was against us. He's fully satisfied it. That's good news for sinners. Think of this. If God were to deal with you in His strict justice, where would you be? Where would I be? My. If every transgression we committed had received this just reward, then we must have been sent to hell, the lake burning with fire and brimstone. And that would have been our portion, because the wages of sin, the payment for sin, is eternal death. So what joy this can bring to the redeemed, born-again, blood-washed sinner. Our great God has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. Now, let's bring it home. Our Lord has not dealt with me according to my iniquities. And you can bring it home too to you. The Lord hath not dealt with you according to your iniquities. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise His mighty name. Oh, is there anything else we can say? There really isn't, is there? Bless the Lord. Oh my. And the reason why God does not reward His people according to our iniquities, according to our sins, is because Christ bore all our sins. They were all imputed to Him. Every single one of them. And He bore the chastisement of our sin, didn't He? Because that wrath that was due us fell upon Him. And remember the shelter? Remember the rock in Isaiah? And the weary traveler goes under the shelter of that rock? I always picture Christ as that big rock like that. And the wrath of God just falls upon Him and I'm safe behind the other side of the rock. And the whole, think of it, the sun beating down on that rock. And the traveler is safe under the shadow of that rock, aren't they? That's us in Christ, beloved. That's us. Through this world. As we journey through this world, that's us. It's wonderful. So God does not reward His people according to our iniquities, according to our sins, because Christ has bore all our sins. The chastisement of our peace fell upon Him. And God is satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. Praise be to God. To which the believer cries out, bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise His mighty name. Now let's look at verses 11 and 12. In this psalm. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. So we have a wonderful illustration here put before us. Again, the greatest distance known or can be conceived of, the space between heaven and earth. Think of the space between heaven and earth. He's so far above us, beloved. His ways are so far above us. His thoughts are so far above us. We have an illustration of a space between heaven and earth here, which is seemingly infinite. And nothing can more illustrate the mercy of God, which reaches to the heavens and is in heaven. This picture's here. This picture here is a representation of the largeness of God's mercy. You can't measure it. You can't plumb it. The depths of it. You can't even come close. If you were the most merciful person in this earth, it wouldn't even come close to the mercy that God has shown His people in Christ. It's boundless, beloved. It's infinite. The deep, deep love of Jesus. It's a vast ocean, beloved. So is His mercy. His mercy is a vast ocean of mercy. You can't plumb the length of it. You can't plumb the breadth of it. And you can't plumb the depth of it. It's boundless. It's infinite. And we see it. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgression from us. They're gone, beloved. They're gone. Oh, that I could live in the reality of that. Do you ever say, me, Lord? Do you ever say, how can I be a believer and act like that? Do you ever say that? We all put our hands up, right? Look at that. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgression from us. They're gone. There's a great gulf between us and our sins, beloved. And it'll never be bridged. You look at that Mackinac Bridge, right? That's a long way that they bridged from the mainland all the way out to the island, right? But you know what? There'll never be a bridge from where we are to our sins. Never. They're gone. They're gone. Why? Because the great scapegoat, the Lord Jesus Christ, has carried them away into the wilderness, where they'll be remembered no more. No more. Oh, does this not fill your heart with joy, beloved of God? Does this not stir you up to bless the Lord, to bless His holy name? And then let's read verses 13 to 17. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it and is gone. In the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. And His righteousness unto children's children. Look at that though. Marvel at verse 13, our great God pities us. You ever had pity upon a person? Well, this is God having pity on we human beings. We who are His people. His eye is toward us. It's not full of wrath as a judge. Because that wrath's been satisfied. No. It's a pity of understanding and the compassion of a father or of a mother to their children. Beloved of God, He will never lay to heavy a burden upon His people. Now, we go through things, don't we? We go through things. But He will not demand too much of us. He will not give a trial to overtake us. He'll not give us over to His enemies and our enemies. Because He deals tenderly with us. We're so weak. But He's so strong. And sometimes we do not remember that we are but dust. We think that we're strong. We think that this strength will last forever. Well, the older I get, the more I realize it doesn't last long. My mind, I can still want to do things, but my body tells me 3 or 4 days later that you shouldn't have done that way. Still some things I can do, which is a blessing, but boy, I'll tell you, some things you just can't do anymore. The natural man, they do not contemplate that we're but dust. They don't even think about that. But the Scripture here declares that God remembers we are dust. Okay. Look at verse 15 and 16. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. Before even the mower's blade comes, the hot eastern wind has dried up the grass, and it's gone. How a little thing can carry we who are frail away. We're here today and gone tomorrow. Our lives are like a vapor. We're coming into the season where we get to see that all the time on display for us. Come out in a cold day and you breathe and out comes that vapor. And then it's gone. That's a constant reminder for us that our life is like a vapor. It's incredible. It's right before us all the time, isn't it? Natural man doesn't think that way though. But we as believers do. Only because God's taught us that truth. And then look at verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. God's mercy to His people is everlasting, just like Him. He's everlasting, therefore His mercy towards us is everlasting. He's everlasting, therefore the salvation He gives is everlasting. It's not based upon us. It's based upon Him. He's everlasting, therefore His mercy is everlasting. His kindness towards us is everlasting. His compassion towards His people is everlasting. That's good news! Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Oh. So we here see the endless chain of God's grace to His people in Christ. Our sins are forgiven. The power of sin is subdued. Its penalty is paid. And we who are the redeemed of the Lord are supplied with all the benefits that we need. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. We're born again, blood-washed children of God. We've been adopted into the household of God. And oh Lord, we must bless Thee then. What? We must bless Him. What? We must bless His holy name. Oh Lord, we bless Thy holy name with our heart, soul, and strength. Bless Your name. Praise Thy holy name. And let we who are the redeemed look upon this world as a place not for a long stay, but is only as a meadow that we're passing through. You ever walked in the meadow? You ever walked through a meadow to get to one place? This life is just like a meadow. We're just walking through it. And we have much in common with the feeble flowers of the meadow, don't we? They come up and then they're gone. Oh, but now with such blessings as we've looked at today, how can we complain? How can we murmur? If we do, let us be quick to remember God's sovereignty. Let us be quick to remember this psalm and what we've looked at today. And then may our hearts be filled with praise and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. We have much to be thankful for. Glory be to God.